Hey there, welcome to the program. I'm Gary Zimak. Today is day 26 of our 33-day preparation for total consecration to Jesus through Mary, and today is also the final day for the week we spent devoted to looking at the life of the Blessed Mother. I hope you've enjoyed the past week. Now, just to look ahead, tomorrow we begin a week devoted to looking at the life of Christ. And then guess what? A week from tomorrow, it's Total Consecration Day. Do you believe that? When we first started this, and I have to give you a pat on the back because you are doing phenomenally with this. You've been through how many days? 25 days of preparation for Total Consecration. You're hanging in there. The emails are great. Everybody's doing well. This is the best year I have ever had, and this is the sixth year that I've done this. I have never had so many people hang in there to this point in time. So you're just about a week away from making your total consecration. And I want to keep you focused as we move toward the end of the preparation period, focused on the fact that I will talk more about, before we hit the total consecration day, of exactly what will be happening, what you can expect, what you cannot expect, because I think a lot of times we have false expectations for what will happen once we make our total consecration. You might not feel a lot initially when you go through it. You may have been feeling things already just as we're preparing, and that's totally okay because that happens so many times. Really, here's the deal, and I've said this, but I really want to reemphasize this. I guess that's a word, right? Reemphasize or emphasize. I want to make sure that you understand that the Holy Spirit is in charge here. The Holy Spirit is doing the work. All you and I are doing is we're showing up, we're preparing to the best of our ability, and we're letting the Holy Spirit move us along at the pace that He wants us to move along at. Okay? And if we start expecting more, from the Holy Spirit, from this process, then the Holy Spirit wants us to enjoy, then we're going to get upset and we'll think, well, I should be more advanced. Don't even worry about that. Just keep going at the pace you're going at, and we're going to make it. Now, if you have questions, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com, gary@followingthetruth.com, with any questions that you may have. I want to address a couple of issues. You know, these kinds of things happen. You know that we've had technical glitches along the way. I think I have the sound problems worked out. Thank you, Lord, for that inspiration. I also want to mention that, and I thank you for alerting me to this. My website had it was out of operation for most of yesterday because the bandwidth was exceeded. What that means is so many people were accessing my website that I reached my limit, and which is amazing. I very rarely do this, so it's kind of a good problem to have, but not good for you if you went to the website trying to listen to the show. The good news is that it is fixed, and it should be okay for today and tomorrow, and then the first of the month, it always resets itself anyway, so we'll definitely be okay by October. But we should be okay for the next couple of days as we go forward with this total consecration today. We've already looked at all of Mary's words in Scripture, and if you remember, I said a few days ago that she only spoke on four occasions in the pages of sacred Scripture. Today, we're going to look at her appearance at Calvary. Even though she didn't say anything, I think we could learn a tremendous amount from the fact that she was at the cross with her son. So let's keep that in mind as we move forward with this total consecration. And as I was saying this, I might want to highlight a couple of other appearances of the Blessed Mother as well. I think I'm going to do that. You like how the Holy Spirit just moves me to change my plan in midstream? But that's the way I like to run this show. We're going to look at a couple other appearances, but we'll really highlight on what happened at Calvary. So remember, tomorrow we begin the final 7 days of preparation. We talk about the life of Jesus. And we're really going to try to get to know Jesus better by looking at his life. And also, as we get closer to the total consecration itself, I'll let you know what you can expect and how this will work. I will put the prayer up on my blog. Maybe I'll send an email if I have time as well. So the consecration prayer itself, we'll use the one written by St. Louis de Montfort. That prayer will appear And that's the prayer that you pray. But we'll talk more about that as we get closer. And then I also want to let you know that on the few days after, at least one day, maybe 2 days after total consecration, that'll be the Monday and the Tuesday, October the 10th and the 11th, I will address what do we do now after we made our total consecration. Remember that after October the 7th, I'm not going to be doing the weekend shows anymore. We'll just go 5 days a week. But that's what will be happening. Because I don't want to just have you get through this and say, okay, good luck. There's things you can do to really reap the benefits from this total consecration. So we will talk more about that. Also remember that beginning on October the 10th, 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern Time, my new morning show will appear on Holy Spirit Radio in Philadelphia. It's called Spirit in the Morning. I'm going to be the host. I'm the creator. So if you liked some of the things that I do here, I really invite you to tune into the show, and I'm going to help you get your day started the right way. Okay, so it will be streaming from HolySpiritRadio.org. You know, it's funny. I haven't even announced this yet officially on social media, so you're the only one who knows this right now. It's kind of a secret, so you should feel good about this. I'm letting you know because you're listening to the program, and I want to let you know that this whole, everything I do on any of the shows that I do is always designed to help you and the Lord grow closer to one another. And I want you to realize that He will be with you. He wants to be with you throughout each day of your life, not just on Sunday. And that's what this total consecration is all about. It's about letting the Blessed Mother bring you closer to Jesus. So if you have any questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com. Let's begin now with our opening prayer, the invocation of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle in them the fire of your love. Lord, send forth your Spirit, and you will renew the face of the earth. O God, who instructs the hearts of your faithful with the light of your Holy Spirit, make us responsive to his inspirations, so that we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolations, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Louis de Montfort, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. All right, you ready to get started here? All this week, and you know, I think this worked out. You're going to be the final judge of this, but I really feel this was a good inspiration of the Holy Spirit to focus on Mary's words and her appearances in the Bible for this week devoted to studying the Blessed Mother. Because if you look at it from a logical point of view, God wanted certain things about Mary to be revealed in his inspired word through sacred scripture. Why not look at those things? Because we can learn a lot from her. So before we get to Calvary, I want to give you a couple of three particular Bible verses about Mary that will tell you a lot. We've covered these already, but I want to really call them out because I want these three that I'm going to read now. We've covered them already in previous meditations, but they bring up an incredibly important point that I want to stress here. The first one is from Luke 1:29. But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of a greeting this might be. So what we're told is the greeting of the angel Gabriel, troubled Mary, and she pondered in her mind what sort of a greeting this might be. All right, let's look at the next one, Luke 2:19. And Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. And this, of course, was from the finding in the temple. Mary didn't understand the words of Jesus when he said, "Don't you know that I must be in my Father's house?" But she reflected on these words in her heart. All right, and the final verse that I want to look at also is from the episode known as the finding in the temple, Luke 2:51. Jesus went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. So you see what's happening here. You see what's taking place. The Blessed Mother is trying to discern God's will for her life. She's trying to make sense of all these things that are happening to her. And yet, they can be very confusing. I just want to point out something. I made a mistake when I said that the middle verse was from the finding of the temple. And Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. That's actually from the presentation in the temple. I didn't want to misspeak there. I want you to understand. These are separate occurrences. When Mary and Joseph presented Jesus in the temple as per the Jewish law, Mary was trying to make sense out of some really confusing things that were going on in her life. Remember, she did not have all the answers, just like us. She often had to walk in darkness. We all have to do that. So I want you to understand, this is a great thing to keep in mind. Mary didn't just say, okay, well, this is what I'm going to do. So what? Mary, if she was asked to do something, especially something difficult, challenging, confusing, she always went to the Lord and tried to figure out, what is it that you're asking of me? Or is there something else that I should be doing? Is there something else that I should be doing? Is there something you are trying to teach me? Is there something you are trying to teach me? And this is something we can all learn from. And also, know that on October the 7th, if you consecrate your life to Jesus through Mary, essentially telling Mary, Mary, you have permission to turn me into a saint. If you give her permission to turn you into a saint, she's going to do great things in your life. She's going to do great things in your life. And she'll help you. She'll help you to be able to figure out what's going on, even when things don't appear to make sense. So that's one set of Bible verses that I want to look at. Another thing that I want to look at is the fact that Mary, when she visited Elizabeth, Luke 1, verses 39 through 40. During those days, Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. Mary traveled in haste. We touched on it before, but I want you to understand. She had just been told that she was chosen to be the mother of the Messiah, an incredibly difficult mission. But what Mary did was she didn't feel sorry for herself. She thought of other people. She thought of Elizabeth, who was 6 months pregnant, elderly, and really needed her. Mary went to see Elizabeth to help her out, and she stayed with her for 3 months. Imagine you and I having that kind of charity. Imagine what we could do. I want Mary to help me to be that loving, to be that concerned about other people, because right now, I fail miserably. Mary is a great example for us, and she wants to help us. Now, here's another Bible passage that often gets confused, but let me talk about it. I want to address it. This is Luke 11, verses 27 through 28. When Jesus was speaking, a woman from the crowd called out and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that carried you and the breasts at which you nursed." And Jesus replied, "Rather, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it." Sometimes people who criticize our love for Mary will say, well, look, Jesus was putting his mother down. He was putting her in her place here. First of all, you have to realize that makes no sense. That theory makes no sense. Jesus was an obedient Jew. Jesus loved his mother. Why in the world would he put her down publicly? It just wouldn't make any sense. That's a commandment. Jesus obeyed the commandments, honor your father and your mother. What the Lord was saying here is that Mary, even though she's his mother, there's a blood relationship there, Mary's discipleship and her willingness to obey the will of God, no matter what, is more important than the fact that she is his mother, that she gave birth to him. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. because this person, this woman from the crowd, cried out, "Blessed is the womb that carried you and the breast at which you nursed." And Jesus said, "No, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it." That's Mary. And that's an incredibly powerful verse, and it's really sad that sometimes that gets misinterpreted. It's a very, very powerful verse, and Jesus is saying, wait a minute, look at Mary. She was able to trust. She was able to trust when nothing was certain, when she was walking in the darkness. So that is really powerful, and I wanted to make sure we pointed that out. And now let's look at when Mary is when Mary is present on Calvary at the crucifixion of her son Jesus. And we go to John chapter 19, specifically John chapter 19 verse 25. And we're told that standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. Now, where were the apostles? We know that John, generally referred to as the beloved disciple, was there. The rest of the apostles, not there. So that tells us something about them. But more importantly, it tells us something. Mary's presence tells us something about her. Her presence at the crucifixion is very, very powerful. Okay? Really, really powerful. Do you think it was easy for her to be there? Absolutely not. She's watching her son, whom she loves, be crucified. So difficult. But Mary knew she had to be there. Mary knew that she had to be there because she was about to participate in a very important role. Now, obviously, Mary was consenting. She was suffering with Jesus. So she was accepting the fact that he was being crucified. She knew that he had to do it. She was there to support him. But I want to read something from John chapter 19, verse 26. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing near, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own. Now, can you imagine Jesus suffering in agony on the cross, dying? How difficult it must have been for him to say anything. Why would he say these words if they didn't mean anything? How can you possibly ignore these words? It's such an incredible gesture. Jesus told his mother, "Woman, behold your son," looking at the disciple, the beloved disciple. And again, that's commonly thought to be John. And turning to the disciple, he said, "Behold your mother." Now, did you ever wonder why John's name isn't mentioned? Why he's just referred to as the beloved disciple? That's because you and I are that beloved disciple as well. It's not just John. The church's teaching has always been that at that moment, Jesus gave the Blessed Mother to you and to me as our spiritual mother. That's what he was doing there. And we're told that from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. In other words, John accepted the offer. What about you? On October the 7th, you get the opportunity to accept the Blessed Mother into your life in a very formal way, to accept her as your mother. Your life's going to change. You're going to become holier. You might not know how it's changing. You might not know why it's changing. You might not know exactly what she's doing. But that's okay. Because if you remember, when we looked at the wedding at Cana, Mary noticed that the wine was gone. She went to Jesus. Jesus fixed the problem. There is no indication when we read that story that the bride and groom ever knew that there was a problem. You don't have to know everything that Mary's doing in order for her work to be effective. So as I said before, and I have seen this with my own life, and if you've never made your total consecration before, what I would recommend is that you just do it. that you just do it. Because once you see her work in your life, you're going to realize, wait a minute, this thing really works. I could tell you about this. I can tell you how I've seen Mary work the past 6 years in my life in unbelievable ways. The fact that I'm a full-time Catholic evangelist, that's all Mary's doing. This happened just after I made my first total consecration. But you need to see it in your life. You need to see her work in your life. We've spent a week looking at her, looking at how she believed, looking at how she was able to walk by faith and not by sight. And when we look at her life, we think, wow, she's so much better at this than I am. But rather than feel bad, we should get excited. Especially when we look at what happened on Calvary when Jesus gave her to us as our mother. Because Jesus knew that we would fumble in the darkness. He knew that we would have a difficult time being holy. He knew that we wouldn't be able to follow through. And that's why he gave us his mother, his very own mother, as the last gift before he passed away. Isn't that incredible? And when you turn to her, when you give her that permission, you're gonna really unleash her power in your life. And I'm not just kidding about that, but I want you to see it for yourself. And this is probably a good time to point this out, and I'll do it again. Even after you make your total consecration on October the 7th, if you change your mind, all you need to do is say, Lord, I changed my mind. Can we put things back to the way they were before? You are free to do that. There's no sin involved. There's no complex ritual that you have to go through. All you need to do is, by an act of the will, tell the Lord, Lord, let's make it the way it was before. That's all you have to do. Is make it the way it was before. Now, do I ever know anybody who's done that? No, I don't. I've known a few people who have not made their total consecration. To the best of my knowledge, that after the 33 days, the ones who have decided not to do it, they did it the next year. I'm going to encourage you to go through with it. And again, because I want you to see the benefits. And when I had Father Mike Gately on the program one of the years when we used his book, 33 Days to Morning Glory. And I said, Father Mike, your book is a much easier approach than some of the other books. He doesn't make it difficult. Some of the other priests that have written other books about total consecration, they made it more tough. They made it tougher. They made you give up something. They made it mandatory that you go to confession. And they made it a little bit more challenging. Father Mike said, I believe that the Blessed Mother is so powerful that I don't want to put any obstacles between the people who are going through this and her. In other words, he wants to make it as easy as possible because he knows that when you get Mary working in your life, great things are going to happen. And while you might be scared about going to confession now, once Mary begins to work in your life, you're going to find yourself wanting to go to confession. So he wanted to make it as easy as possible. I think I'm somewhere in the middle because I really want to realistically tell you what this is all about and not make it too easy, but I think I made it pretty easy. I'm going to strongly encourage you, and I'll say this again, if you haven't gone to confession, I would really recommend, St. Louis recommends this very strongly, that you go to confession before you make your total consecration. Because it really will help you. You want to be pure when you go into this. But I think I just have to go with the Holy Spirit and where I feel he's leading me. And I think that's why I used several different books and came up with some of my own methods. Because I want you to appreciate what you're doing. But at the same time, I don't want to overburden you. And that's why taking the book away, I think, was helpful. Judging by the numbers, you responded. So that's a good thing. And I really, really believe. And again, I've got the writings of St. Louis de Montfort. I know what he wrote. I know that I fully believe that we are prepared to make this commitment. And guess what? We still got another week to go. We're getting to the best part of this. We're going to look at the life of Jesus. And I still haven't decided how exactly I'll proceed. Tune in tomorrow and see where the Holy Spirit led me. He's my program director. I really let him tell me where to go. So that's what we'll do tomorrow. Now listen, if you have any questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. And again, my website is back up and running. So visit the website if you want, if you're listening to the program that way. The website is operational. And I'm sorry for all the glitches, but it happens. It happens, and I'm going to do my best to just work around these technical difficulties and keep going forward. Now, before I leave, we have a few minutes left, I want to thank you for your donations and remind you again, it's critical if you believe in my work, if you like this total consecration. It would, your donations are necessary to help me continue going forward. So I would encourage you to be as generous as you can. You can donate anywhere from $10 to thousands of dollars. And I've had people do that because they believe in my work. Again, do not put yourself in any financial jeopardy. But I can't do this by myself. I can't do this without your financial help. My speaking work, my book royalties, my what little radio I do, that helps a little bit, but the donations from you are critical. If you would like to be a monthly sponsor, that would help me so much. You have no idea. And again, you can do that for as little as $10 a month, which is 33 cents a day. And you can quit after the first month. So I would ask you to please prayerfully consider doing that. Again, you know I don't like to talk about it, but it's necessary. Followingthetruth.com, click on donate and do that by PayPal if you could. And also remember the Amazon links. So anytime you shop from Amazon, please use the link on my website. Everything remains the same for you, but it helps me because of the fact that it's linked from my website. And also Mystic Monk Coffee. If you're in for some if you'd like some great coffee, check out the great coffee brewed by the Mystic Monks, the Carmelite Monks located in Cody, Wyoming. Mystic Monk Coffee available at followingthetruth.com. Let's close with our prayer, Jesus Living in Mary. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Jesus Living in Mary, come and live in your servant, in the spirit of your holiness, in the fullness of your gifts, in the perfection of your ways, in the truth of your virtues, in the communion of your mysteries. Subdue within me the power of flesh and demon by your Holy Spirit, for the glory of God the Father. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, there you go. Thanks so much for tuning into the show. God willing, I plan to be back here tomorrow as we begin our seven-day period focusing on the life of Jesus. And remember, we'll go through the weekend this week. We're going to do 15-minute shows. I know I flip-flopped a couple of times on that when I was having the technical problems, but I think 15 minutes will work for the weekend. And then next Friday, not tomorrow, but the week after that, we make our total consecration to Jesus through Mary. I'll give you more details about that. I'm headed to Denver next week to participate in the Catholic Leadership Conference. I will be back in town on Friday, but I'll pre-record the programs while I'm away. But I'll be back here on Friday. It is recommended, I'll tell you this now, that you make your total consecration at Mass. So once I give you the formula, you can print it out and go to church and do it after communion. That's recommended, but we'll still do it on the air, sort of a formality that I've done every year. If you can get to daily Mass that day, it's not essential, okay? It is not essential. But St. Louis de Montfort recommends that you receive communion and make your total consecration after communion. It's a little formula. You pray it, and then you are consecrated to Jesus through Mary. I'm getting excited. I'm getting excited for you. And I tell you what, it's going to be great. Any questions, remember, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. Remember the donations. I very much need them. Also remember to pray, not only for me, but for every one of us who are making this total consecration. This is going to be amazing, right? Hang in there and know that I'll be praying for you. And God willing, I'll see you tomorrow night. Have a wonderful night, and God bless you.